Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we're looking today at this fifth commandment, and my title for this morning is Respect, Respect, Respect. That's what this commandment is all about. It's the first commandment on the second table of the law. We remember the first table of the law has to do with our duty towards the Lord, how we should love Him and worship Him and serve Him, and when we should serve Him and how we should serve Him. We've looked at that over the last few weeks. But now we turn to our duty to man and how we should treat one another. And it begins here with this fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus summed up these two tables of the law so wonderfully, didn't he? When he said, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. It's not just that we do the commandments, but we love God. We love Him. That's why we do the commandments. It's an expression of our love to the Lord. It's not just duty. But then he said the second is like it. Love our neighbor as ourselves. They both go together. Love to God, of course, is primary, but just as important is our love to our neighbor. We shouldn't neglect the one. Sometimes when you're talking to unbelievers, you may come across one or two who say, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. Usually they're just thinking about the second table of the law, what their duty to man. And even then they're very selective because they're thinking about, oh, I haven't killed anyone, or maybe I haven't committed adultery, but they don't think about, I haven't told lies or I haven't been covetous. They seem to forget that. But if you ever come across such friends and you're witnessing to them, well, draw their attention, friends, to those first four commandments. Show to them their duty, not only to men, but also towards God. Some believers go the other way. After they're converted, well, their duty towards the Lord, their love for Him, yes, becomes the main thing and the primary thing. That's how it should be. But sometimes they neglect this second part of the law, our duty towards men and what we owe to our brethren, to our family, and to our neighbor. Now, when you read this fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, you may think, well, this is such a simple commandment. What can we gain from such a thing? But actually, friends, it's much broader than it seems. And there is more to it than just telling us that we should respect and honor our parents. Like all the other commandments, there is much more to this commandment than meets an eye in a cursory reading. It's all about authority. This fifth commandment teaches us how we should each one have respect for authority, whether it's authority in the home, which is what this is referring to and where it begins, or authority in society, our political leaders, and authority also in the church. Respect for leaders, wherever they are. Respect them because God has placed them in those positions. God has given you those parents. Respect them. Well, it's so vital for us to know this as believers. It's probably put here, starting off in the home, because if you get it right in the home, if children get it right in the home, that they should honor their father and their mother, respect them, love them, well, they'll carry that with them into society. They will carry that with them, this sense of I must submit to my leaders and respect them into their adult life. But if they get it wrong here, well, that can only spell trouble and difficulty. They will have trouble in their lives, most likely, and they will probably be a trouble to others, sad to say. So it's a lesson for us to learn. But you notice here there is a promise attached to this commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Is this a promise for long life? If I honor my mom and dad, that day I will have a long life, I will live until I'm 80 or older. It's actually not quite relating to age. It's talking, friends, more here about stability. That as we respect our authorities, as we respect our parents or respect our leaders, it will lead to a stable family. It will lead to a stable society. It will lead to a stable church. The word here was addressed to the Israelites, and it says they would live long, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. They would enter into that promised land which they hadn't as yet been, and if they were subject to authority, to the Lord, they would be a very stable nation. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, that is, this same promise is expanded a little bit. In fact, it's the word land is not recorded there. And so it's more generalized. It's open to everyone. That whoever follows this commandment, well, they will bring stability not only into their own lives, but also into their family life and so on. So it's a promise for us, for us all. But think of it in that way, friends, that it will lead to a great stability. How we need it. How we need this commandment to be emphasized, to be promoted again and again. When we look at our society today, what do you see? It's in chaos. It's in a mess, our society. We see such disrespect at all levels, such disrespect for authority. Today, people don't like to be told what to do. They don't like others to direct them, whether it's in the home or outside the home. Maybe they never learned to respect their mom and their dad in their home. They were allowed to speak back to their parents. They were allowed to rebel at home. And so they learned these kind of ways. When they went to school, they carried this disrespect with them. And they felt it was okay, nothing wrong in being disrespectful to their teachers and to those who are older than them. So they can say whatever they want. You can't tell me what to do. Often we hear that on the buses sometimes, or to parents. Yes, they can. But the problem is there is no respect for people. They carry these young children, sadly, they carry this kind of attitude with them. And then, as we said, it goes into adult life and into the workplace. And instead of being subject and subordinate in their workplace, it becomes more, I'm not going to listen to the boss, and I speak disrespectfully about him behind his back, or I vilify my political leaders. Well, all these things we see on every hand. I had an experience of this just this past week. I went to fill up my tank with petrol, and as I went to pay, the lady at the counter said, "Oh, that guy, there was another guy in a van who just passed me by, two guys in fact, and he said that guy never paid for his petrol." And the worst thing about it is he looked at her and he was smiling. It was very brazen. But it's an act, isn't it, of not only of theft, but of disrespect, and couldn't care less what they said. Well, we have to also think of the place our media plays as well. The media, sadly, today is only encouraging mockery, encouraging people to be disrespectful to their authorities. It's now comedy to poke fun at your leaders, comedy to call them nicknames and odd names. We don't agree with everything that politicians tell us. We have many areas where we disagree with their policies and so on. But we still should show respect because of their position that they hold, because God has put them there. And to rebel against their rules and regulations, unless it's against God's God's law, then we cannot obey, but to rebel would not be right for us as believers. The Christian is not a rebel. This commandment is teaching us, the Christian is not a rebel. He is humble, he is submissive, he is a meek, he is subordinate, and he has learned to be this way, to be respectful. Well, the word here, honor, means to weigh heavily, to give weight to treat as important, and to treat with respect, and to be courteous to people. And we are to give weight, here it says, to treat with respect those whom God has put over us, beginning with our parents. And how we should respect our parents, because they have done so much for us. Sometimes we don't think about it, but humanly speaking, they are the ones who have brought us into this world. We should be filled with gratitude to them. They have provided for us. They have gone out of their way. They've made sacrifices for us. Sometimes when we're down, they have been there to encourage us. When no one else has been there, they're the ones who have come after us to speak a word, to lift us up. And so we should be so grateful and thankful to our mums and our dads, and to love and respect them. Our parents may not be the best. They may not be perfect parents. You may easily live with them. You see their foibles. You see their quirks. You see their shortcomings. But still, you must still love them. You may see many things that are irritating to you, especially if they are unbelieving parents. They may be harsh and unpleasant. But still, this commandment teaches us that we should have respect for them and love them still. Friends, don't relegate, young children, don't relegate your parents. Oh, you belong to a previous generation. You're not modern. You're old. Your thinking is different. Your ways are different. Don't relegate your friends, your parents, as outdated friends. Draw from their experience. They're there to help you. They're able to guide you and keep you from so many faults and troubles that are ahead in life. Don't categorize them in that way. Listen to what they say. Listen, children, to their advice. Of course, obey them. Obey what they tell you to do. All this is included in this commandment. Esteem your mom and dad highly. Hold them in a high regard in your heart. Don't envy other children's parents. Don't say, oh, I wish my parents were like such and such's parents. I wish my mom and dad was like that. Well, these are the parents God has given to you. Be thankful for them. They may not be able to give you the best iPhone or the mobile phone or whatever, but they will give you other things. They will provide for you. They will give you the love. Don't think of them, oh, my dad's got such a poor job. Look at the car he drives, or he doesn't even drive a car. Don't despise parents like that in that way. Treat them with great respect and appreciate everything that they do. Speak respectfully to them. Speak, friends, with kind words to them, and obey them, unless, of course, they also tell you to do something that is contrary to God's word. Well, that's specifically really for children, but things do change as we grow older. When a child transitions into adulthood, then the obedience that is due to the parents also changes. We still love and respect our parents. We still have to support them and care for them, even till their dying days. This is our duty as children. But our obedience takes on a different format. Well, I just mentioned that. I wonder if you've heard of the Stork's Law. Stork's Law is an old, ancient Roman law. And it said that the young people had to provide for their elders. It was law. You have to provide, make sure they have their needs provided for. And it went back to an ancient belief that the young storks would take food, carry food for the older storks. Once the older storks, having lost their power to fly, they hadn't needed food, so the younger storks would bring food for them. Well, that's a lovely picture for us of how we should be also caring for our elderly parents. But our obedience does change when we become older. Parents should have more of a hands-off approach for their adult children. They shouldn't want to intermeddle too much in their children's lives. Too often, parents want to retain a hold over their grown-up children. They want to decide for them. Give advice, yes, by all means, and advice should be sought from parents. But we don't make decisions for them. We let those children, because now they are adults, we let them decide for themselves. Sometimes, occasionally, there are times when parents may need to make decisions for their adult children. If, for example, the adult child is ill and has lost his mental capacity or ability to make decisions, then of course those who are closest to him will have to decide really what's best for him. But generally speaking, there's a hands-off approach. Some unbelieving parents give their converted children a hard time. And this is especially when the adult child is first converted, and pressure is put on them by these parents to change and to give up their religion. They don't like the new Johnny. They want old Johnny back. Oh, this is how we like, even though old Johnny was a terrible person. They don't like it. They want to have him back. Well, friends, what is the believer to do in such circumstances? When they arrange meetings on the Lord's Day so that they try and get you away from church, then the believer has to still respect the Lord. He has to put the Lord first. We still love those parents. We still try and win them. We still respect them, but we have to politely decline those invitations. Sad to say, even Christian parents may also sometimes be a little bit too overbearing, too demanding, too possessive of their Christian children. And the adult children may think, well, what do I do in such a circumstance? Do I just give in to every whim and fancy of my parents? Do I just yield my time and my energy to them? And they may feel guilty that they have to sometimes say no. Well, friends, they shouldn't feel guilty, because sometimes parents can be a bit too possessive and over-demanding. But our devotion to the Lord must come first. And our time and energy is, yes, we devote some of that to our parents, but we must devote our time and energy also to the Lord and to the Lord's work. As Dr. Masters says in his book on the Ten Commandments, devotion to parents must in no way challenge devotion to God. So we love and we support them, and we care for them, but we also remember our priorities first for Christ. Well, I want to move on. As we said, this commandment is much broader than just the family relationship. Thomas Watson, in his book on the commandments, names five different kinds of fathers. Yes, we have the natural father, which we've looked at, but he also mentions the political father, ancient fathers, spiritual ones, domestic fathers who are employers, and of course the natural fathers. So just briefly, in the short time we have, like to look at these other fathers. Political fathers, firstly. We should respect those whom God has put in authority over us. We don't have time to look at it, but in 1 Peter 2 and verse 13 and 14, We are told there to submit to authorities. In verse 17, to honor the king. In Romans 13, again, verses 1 and 2, talking about our submission as believers to government authorities who are put there by the Lord. So we should respect this authority, the people who govern our land, regardless of their party affiliation, whether they're blue or red or yellow. We submit to their rules. We do not side, we do not agree, as you said, with everything, but we have to show our respect to them in some way or other. Now, friends, we see a lot again happening around us, very recent things like Extinction Rebellion. And you see the Insulate Britain, what they're doing, causing chaos and disruption to society, disrupting the order in society. A Christian cannot identify with these groups because they are for rebellion. They say it's civil disobedience. They say it's done for a good cause, but there's a way for good causes to be addressed. Even though it's non-violent, they say, we should still avoid joining hands with them. It is rebellion, and a Christian must be a model citizen. He must be as best a citizen as he can. He should be a grateful citizen, grateful that he still has some order, grateful that there is still harmony in our land, grateful at least that there is some measure of justice which is being upheld. All these things we should show some appreciation for that we have in this country and be thankful for it. Of course, the Christian must pray for his leaders and that God would enable peace to continue, the gospel to continue freely in this land. And we should submit to those laws that they put. Of course, we cannot submit to all the laws. There are some exceptions. We see even now in Parliament discussions regarding this conversion therapy, where they are trying to force in a law to prevent church leaders from praying for anyone who has same-sex attraction or homosexual attraction. If such a person were to come to a pastor and to ask for prayer and help, they're trying to make that illegal. They're trying to make it illegal to pray and persuade and bring these people out. We cannot agree with such things. And so there are exceptions to the submission. But then also, let's think of ancient fathers. Honor, we could say, those who are senior in age, those who by years of experience have accumulated wisdom. Yes, ordinary people, even the old people, we can always learn something from the elderly, especially, friends, if they are Christians who have walked with the Lord for many years, who have proved the Lord again and again. There's so much we could draw from their experience. There's so much we should be getting alongside. Us younger ones have to get alongside the older ones and make friends with them, and so we can draw from their experience how they've walked with the Lord. They've learned to walk with Him and have had many answers to prayer. Oh, friends, it's so vital for us just to do these things. But the cry of today is what? Out with the old. Out with the old, in with the new. Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord advises us in a contrary way. Ask for the old paths. Ask for the old ways. Stay with the old ways. Don't go with a new path. We don't want traditional ways. We want modern ways, everyone is saying. We want something new. We want something different. We don't want the old ways. Oh, friends, we could learn so much from our elders. There is on YouTube at the moment, there was quite a nice series actually put out by a church called, I think it was a church in Wales, Before They Leave the Stage. And what they were doing is that they were gathering together one by one and having interviews with ministers who are somewhat elderly and somewhat weak, and talking about their experience and seeing what advice and wisdom they could pass on to the church. And one after another gave out their nuggets of gold. And so that's quite a good thing to do. But in our conceited generation, so many people think, well, we know better than our elders. Even in the church, what happens in the church? We see young people being thrust into the ministry. Young people being allowed to lead the worship or to lead the witness. And it's like the pastors sometimes are taking a back seat and, well, we leave it with the young people and we'll see what they come up with. It's never brought before the elders what they're going to do. It's just like, let's see what new thing they come up with. Well, that can't be right, friends, to go in that way. We have, as we've said many a time, a pattern given to us. We don't need a new novel way of worship. Today as well, churches, the modern churches, they want a young pastor, a slick pastor who walks up and down the stage, and a handsome pastor who's dressed maybe in jeans, slit jeans, even better. All these things. Oh, this is what we want, who makes people laugh, who gets everyone up laughing and joking. It makes everyone smile. But we don't want the word. Or the word is there in passing. But the old methods, friends, have served us so well. Why want to get rid of them? We don't need to freshen things up and bring things into the 21st century. We need to go back. We need to hold on to those things. That's what Paul did. He said to Timothy, what you receive from me, pass on to other faithful men who can teach others also. And it's like being passed on from one to another, the same things. And that's what we also need to do. So there's learning, respecting our elders. And then there is domestic fathers, and I won't talk much about this, but this is referring to our employers, those who are our bosses. And again here, the Christian should be a model employee, not barking against his boss or engaging in gossip against him. Again, he doesn't agree with everything, but there is respect there. But I come just finally to spiritual fathers. Just want to say just a few things about the leaders in the church. The pastor and the elders are those whom God has appointed in the church. And so we are called, this commandment calls us to honor our spiritual leaders, to give weight to them, to treat them as important and as valuable. If we want a stable church, if we desire a stable local church, well, we must honor our spiritual leaders, not because they are special, but because of the position that they hold. They don't possess any intrinsic authority. They're not. God doesn't invest authority in the preacher, in the person. Our authority, friends, is in the Word. Our authority is in the Bible. We are not called to meddle with your personal affairs, what you should have for breakfast, where you should go on holiday, whom you should marry. That's your decision. But we preach the Word, and we are called to submit to the Word. If we could just look in that scripture we read in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have the rule. That is, as they rule by the word, as they explain the word to you, as they expound the word to you and apply it and show you how it should change your life, well, we want to submit to those things. To submit to it, friends, doesn't just mean that we listen to it and give our consent to it. Yes, of course, we do that. But it's more than that. As those who are good listeners, we're allowing the word to change us. We're allowing the word to transform our lives. We're allowing the word to sanctify us. If the preacher has proved a point from the word, this is what I should be doing, and I'm not doing it, then I adjust my life, and I change my behavior, and I change to do something or not to do something that was either way. I adjust my life to fit in with God's word. I don't want to become just a person who comes to church and allows the word, a believer who allows the word to come in and go out the other ear. I want it to remain with me. I want to receive it, Lord, as from thee. That's what was said about the Thessalonian believers. It was said of them that they received the word not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And if we receive it in that way, it will change our hearts. This is one reason for the preaching. Dear friends, is the preached word changing me? Am I improving as a believer? Am I walking in a closer way and in accordance with His word? Am I making those changes to my conduct, to my lifestyle, as the word of God shows me I need to? This, friends, is an honoring of our leaders. Yes, it's good to be respectful in word and in some measure, but even more to show by our lives that we appreciate the word and we esteem highly our leaders for their work's sake. The pastor himself has to be a father and a mother. He has to speak sometimes, like Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he has to speak to his spiritual children as a father. He says, "I exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." But he's also a mother. And in the same chapter, he says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nursing mother cherisheth her children." So on the one side, the pastor is like a father, exhorting, disciplining, and on the other side is a mother, the motherly side, maternal side, where there's love and there's care. Both must be together from the pastoral side. And as we submit to our spiritual leaders and honor them, then, friends, we have a stable local church, and how necessary that is in these days. Well, I conclude with a look, just one scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and, well, you can look at that maybe in your own time, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a description of the last days. It's a description and a horror, terrible, frightening description it is of society, and yet that is typical of our society today. You read it and you think it's so much like our society. And you'll see nestled amongst that group, you see those words, one of the characteristics of the last days, disobedience to parents. And it has this in mind, refusing to submit to authority. Well, friends, the fifth commandment is a safeguard for us, safeguarding the family, encouraging stability in the family, safeguarding the church, and a safeguard also for society. What does it teach us about the Lord? Well, it teaches us even that there is great respect in the Trinity. There is great respect for one another in the three persons of the Trinity, and that there is great love also there for one another. Well, I hope that these things will be a help to you this morning. Let's close by singing our final hymn, 475, "Jesus, I my cross have taken," 475.